Time now for our weekly political panel. This week we have Newsroom political editor Joe Moyer with us. Kia ora.
Good morning.
And RNZ's political editor Jane Patterson. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Now let's start with National's education policy. People wanted some policy from National. This was pretty well delivered. It looks like it's gone down fairly well, although not necessarily with teachers, so to speak.
I think this is a policy that will resonate with a lot of parents. There have been big concerns about educational achievement, about communication from schools, about how their kids are doing. So there are definitely some elements in this plan, but is it... As often, most people, everyone agrees there is a problem, and you only need to see those declining rates of literacy and competence in maths that demonstrates that. But of course, the question is, how do you fix it? So National's come out with this plan around the curriculum that they want year by year. So to be set out in year one, what a child should be learning and whether they're meeting that standard. Now, of course, they're also talking about testing, standardised testing. It's not national standard, says Chris Luxon. It's performance assessment. He says it's a very different thing, but obviously that set the cat among the pigeons in terms of the teaching sector fearing a return back to the national.
Joe, Labor will have already said that, haven't they? They will liken this as a return to national standards, same old things, and a disruption to the work that they're already doing.
Yeah, and look, you only need to see the comments from the likes of the New Zealand Principals Federation, the NZEI, have all come out and said, we're not doing this. I mean, the idea that kids aren't being taught, you know, maths, reading, writing in schools already is a bit of a nonsense. I guess what Christopher Luxon and Erica Stanford are getting at is that it needs to be more structured. And I think there probably is an agreement among, you know, teachers, communities and parents that I guess the classroom has become a little bit less structured in that sense. You know, you have more open classrooms, open learning, the way things are taught, more creative spaces, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, that's all happened for a reason, and there is evidence behind that, and that's a good thing. So,
but what's the evidence that it's a good thing? Because National can point to our, you know, falling numbers in literacy and mathematical rates.
Well, I think that you've had, even on, you know, RNZ this week, teachers who have come out and said that, you know, it's not just about reading, writing, maths and science. You know, employers, for example, want other skill sets too. They want
as well, though,
good communicator. It is. It's an and. You're right. And this is the point. Do you go for the national option, which I guess is just coming back to the basics, as they're saying, or do you look at the other option, which is to expand things, or do you find a happy medium, which I guess the argument at the moment is that perhaps we're not there.
And then if you look at the broader context, if you take a step back out, we have teachers striking for more pay, you know, wanting better pay and better conditions. We also have the real challenges, and again, that's been brought up by teachers in the classroom, dealing with special needs kids, dealing with social problems, a whole lot more challenging. So actually, do you address that as well? But look, I think it's a really good debate. I think it's a policy that a lot in the education sector are looking at too, particularly around the curriculum. Now, yesterday, National was pretty careful to acknowledge teachers, acknowledge their work. I don't think they want to go back to that bun fight between national governments prior and the national standards, and it just created such a tense relationship between them. So they were careful yesterday, and also to say the curriculum work won't be thrown out, we just want it more structured. But obviously there's going to be a lot of discussion about it, and I think it
I wonder if they were that careful, because Erica Stanford did say, you know, that teachers have loose curriculum, teachers are basically putting a finger in the wind and deciding what they teach next week, which has upset some teachers, because they're like, no, we spend hours and there's a lot of strategic planning and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think what is a very professional industry, I think teachers will hear that comment, and while it might have been pointed more...
Relayed from a teacher, she said.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could look at that comment and say, well, Erica Stanford's referring to the curriculum. I think teachers will take that as they don't know what they're doing, and they're going home at night and putting their finger in the wind and working out what it is they're meant to be doing. And I think, you know, that's an unfair criticism, and it might be unfair to suggest that that's exactly what Erica was saying. She probably was talking more broadly about the issues around the curriculum. But yeah, I mean, certainly the teaching profession would have heard that comment and gone, well, hang on a second, that's a little bit unfair.
That said, what did you think of, this was a classic election year policy rollout by National. They're at the school, the kids doing the dancing, who let the dogs out, all that sort of stuff. So for, you know, the TV pictures and everything, Christopher Luxon, a lot of focus on him as the leader and his performance in these roles. He seemed fairly comfortable.
I think it was a well-delivered speech. It was... education is something he has always highlighted as a priority for him as leader. So he had a lot of skin in the game in this one. It was obviously something they've spent a lot of time on. It was a well-delivered speech, and as I said, there are aspects of it that will definitely cause debate, but also that might give pause for some different direction. Another aspect that the government has pointed out is where's the money? So obviously the political debate around these policies is how do you pay for them? In the briefing to ministers, the Education Ministry said it's facing significant falls in core departmental baselines. It's really struggling financially. Chris Luxon said yesterday one of the policies, the cancelling registration fees, would be paid for extra, but apart from that, it will all be in baseline. That is another area that will come under scrutiny.
Joe, the lobbying story this week from Guy and Espiner, how do you think that has landed politically? Is there any movement or sense to get this registered, to stop this revolving door that he has highlighted?
Short answer, no, it doesn't feel like that. I mean,
why not?
Well, I mean, look at the comments from the Prime Minister back on Monday at PostCab in response to all of this, saying that, basically the public has the same access. I think we have a grab
which
here.
Which I think Guyon has shown is a ridiculous thing to say.
Well, so we'll have a listen here to the audio of Mr Hipkins on Monday answering some of those questions.
I don't think that lobbyists necessarily get preferred access. I don't think they necessarily get access that other members of the public can't get. In many cases, they're simply providing a flow of information that can be quite useful.
Are you seriously saying that senior lobbyists have the same access rights to ministers as any member of the public?
I'm saying that members of the public are still able to access. Members of the public are still able to access government ministers, and I think it's important that we continue to allow for those opportunities.
Lobbyists have swipe cards into the building.
It's a very different relationship.
So you heard at the end there pushback from members of the press gallery who were saying, you know, these lobbyists have swipe card access. Often they have very strong existing relationships, either their chiefs of staff, their former cabinet ministers. So they have established relationships. So to run that line that they have the same kind of access as members of the public is disingenuous.
Well, and Joe Public also doesn't have, you know, the mobile phone numbers of the entire cabinet either. So, I mean, let's put this in perspective here. It is incredibly ridiculous for Chris Hipkins to suggest there's the same access.
And interesting points brought up, but as Joe said, I don't really see any appetite for any great change in this area.
Just finally, almost finished, but a comment on the Posey Parker stuff. What do you think in terms of the politics of this? Is it over politically in terms of the minister's role? You know, they've sort of said that's not.
In terms of the immigration area, yes. Although we do have and about to start very, very soon is a judicial review and a hearing in the Wellington High Court against the decision to allow her. So depending on that outcome, that could kick it into another sphere. But look, the immigration minister at any point could have intervened if he didn't like the way it was going. He didn't. She will be allowed in, and there'll be those rallies over the weekend. So that will be the next point of interest for authorities.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, the Prime Minister, and in fact, I haven't seen many politicians really wade into this.
No, and I mean, I think where the decision has landed, obviously Michael Wood has made the decision not to intervene as the minister, and, you know, I think it's fair to say that the cabinet as a whole would be very supportive of that. The government does not want to weigh into this and be seen to be, you know, making a decision one way or the other. You've also had the opposition come out and say, well, free speech, you know, she should be able, even if we don't agree with her, she should be allowed in. So I think to not have Michael Wood become the focus and the centre of this by having, you know, got heavy with it and got in amongst it is probably the best political decision anyway.
Jo Moir, thank you very much for that. Newsroom's political editor, also speaking to RNZ political editor Jane Patterson.